You are listening to WRUU Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM and WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings, community radio with global soul. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Parenting Room 101. I'm your host, Christy Sanborn, and it's Friday, and I could not be more excited to have two incredible, beautiful women sitting in the studio with me here live today. I'm so happy they're here. They are local. I'm going to introduce my friends Ashley and Adeline Heron to the show. And before I let them say hello, just a little bit about them. So Ashley is a devoted wife. She's a mother of three. She's also a life coach, a stay-at-home mom. She's an avid reader. She's born in Arkansas. She's a Cancer. And she is married to the love of her life as of May 24, 2003, which I love. And Adeline is here. We also call her Addie. She likes either one. Addie is a big sister. She's a high school graduate. She's an intern at Skidaway Island Methodist Church. She loves the beach. She's a Sagittarius. And both ladies love vintage shopping. So welcome to the show, ladies. Hi. Nice to see you today. Addie, let me hear you.
Hello.
Yeah, you sound good. Okay, everybody hang tight. See, this is real life. This is real life, and that's why we just have to be patient and
go with
it.
Just have to roll with it. That.
I just fixed it. I mean, good job. I didn't fix it. God fixed it. God fixed it, and you guys were patient with me, so thank you for that. I'm sorry if that upset anybody there. Again, you know, so as women, we have to do the hard things sometimes, and it's not always pretty. Like, I remember growing up, and I hated gym class because I was not pretty after class. You know, I was sweaty and stinky, and I couldn't, like, I wasn't one of those natural girls that could just, like, shake it off and go back to class and be, anyway, I thought,
you weren't
anyway.
Adeline?
I wasn't Adeline. I didn't want to say that, but that's what I was thinking, because you're so beautiful. I don't want to embarrass you, honey, but I wasn't you, you know? No, I had to, like, try so hard. At least I thought I had to try hard. I had a very beautiful mother, as you do too.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I don't even know why we're going here, but we're going to go.
Perfect.
We're going to go because I feel like as a girl, I'm going to speak for me now, and Addie, please add to it if there's something you want to say. As a girl with a beautiful mother, okay, my mom didn't look like one of those moms that you see sometimes at pickup, you know, like, no offense to any moms out there that are not put together, but my mom was so put together. Her hair was perfect. Her makeup was perfect. She had a 6-pack abs. She wore a size 6 jeans. Like, she looked good all the time. She was the gorgeous woman. She had 8 brothers and sisters, 1 of 9. She by far was the best looking. No offense to all my aunts and uncles, God bless, love you, love you all for different reasons, but my mother shined like a model. Okay, she was a model. So growing up, we don't have the same body type. I mean, I'm taller, I'm you know, a little more curvy. I always felt like we were in competition with each other. I don't know if she was with me, but I felt like I was. So anyway, back to women having to do the hard things. Sometimes we do, and sometimes it's messy, and sometimes, you know, you just have to give yourself that grace that it's okay. Do you struggle with this sometimes, Adeline?
Oh, yeah.
With your mom being so gorgeous, because she is.
Oh, my God.
Well, tell me what that looks like or what it did when you were younger.
I remember growing up, like, I would always see my mom, and she would always, you know, everyone has their insecurities. Yeah. And I would sit there having my list of insecurities, and I would hear her saying things, and I was like, how can you look at yourself and, like, feel insecure when I see you to be so gorgeous and so, like, beautiful? And she was just everything I had ever strived to be. And the biggest compliment I can ever get is, you look like your mom. Like, actually, because
I'm going to cry. Because my daughter's always like, don't say that. When people say that, you look like your mom. She's like, no, I don't. Like, she's like,
oh, my gosh.
Your daughter's gorgeous, too.
Thank you.
Yeah, she is.
Thank you, guys. But that is such a beautiful compliment because your mom tries so hard. I know. Like, I see her showing up. You show up. You show up.
But the thing is, like, I would never want, like you were talking about, like, you felt like you were in competition with your mom. And that is, like, I would never want to, her to feel like she was in competition with me, because I want her to, and I think she is so much more beautiful and so much more generous and gracious than I am. And so, like, I would never want her to feel in competition with me. And I don't ever want to compete with her. I just want to raise her up so she can shine, you know? And that's because it's just, I think she's fabulous.
I know she is. You know? She really is fabulous.
And so,
and that's because she has such a beautiful family and mom and dad that love each other. I mean, look, you've been married how many years?
It's 2003.
2003. So I'll tell you how many years. It's 22 years because my daughter was born 2003. Okay. So that's a long time to grow up in a home with two parents actively showing up for each other and the kids.
But,
of course not.
You know.
But I mean, if you want to give your kids a good shot in life, I mean, I think that's a goal we could all aim for, to have a healthy home, whether that, no matter what that looks like, you know, it could be whatever it is for you, you know. But so let's talk a little bit about, before we go there, I'm going to talk a little bit about trauma, but not yet. I want to talk about your names. Do you guys know what your names mean? Because I like to do this on the show. Addie, do you know? Have you looked up your name?
Kind and gentle.
Kind and gentle. Okay. Mm-hmm. I looked it up and I found that in old French and German, your name means noble or the noble one.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Don't remember that from
no.
Okay.
And I was in the sixth grade when I did that.
It's
project.
Beautiful. And the noble woman is clothed with strength and dignity, which I see that in you so much. And at your age, I don't think, at least for myself, I don't even know if I could wrap my head around what that means. But I feel that's a gift you've been given. Yes, for sure. It's beautiful. And as you grow, I think that'll make more sense to you. I think so. Mm-hmm. So, Ashley, do you know what your name means?
I don't have a clue.
In Old English, it means, excuse me, from the ash tree meadow. And the ash tree represents strength, rootedness, and life-giving wisdom, which your mom is very wise.
She's definitely very got wise. Lots of wisdom.
Yes. She does.
She says with gritted teeth.
Nuh-uh.
Helen, how old are you, by the way?
I'm 18.
Okay. You just turned 18, or you're actually turning 19 in
December.
December. Okay.
Yes.
So back to Ashley for a second.
Yes, ma'am.
Would you tell us a little bit about something about your family, excuse me, that always makes you smile?
There is nothing that brings me more joy than all of us sitting at the kitchen table and everyone bringing their unique piece to dinner. And when I say everyone, like Jackson, Adeline's boyfriend, is at dinner with us most nights.
Every night.
And so just for Levi and I just to sit, and we don't really have to say anything. The kids jump in immediately with, "Sister, tell us about your day," and you know, she tells us about her day, and then the boys will jump in with whatever they've had, and it's almost like it. I don't know. I just think it's the most beautiful thing, and like a close second is when everyone comes out of their room in the evenings and we just sit in the living room and have dance parties or karaoke.
We're really good at karaoke.
Really?
We're all very talented singers.
It really sounds more like a concert than karaoke. It's awful.
I love it.
So fun.
We sound like lovely. I got no other word.
So fun.
Yeah.
And I know you guys moved recently.
We did.
Did you sell your old home?
We did, finally.
Okay.
We finally sold our old home.
So how's the new home going? Does it feel like home now?
Yes.
Okay.
For sure.
Yeah. Okay. Was that a big deal for you, Addie, when you left the old place to go to the new, bigger place?
I love our house.
Okay. Awesome.
So much.
Yeah. It's taken us a while to get it the way we want it, I think. But I feel like it's us.
Very.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's awesome. So do you even know, like, how you got here to Savannah? Will you share that story? Because I know you're from Arkansas originally.
Yeah. Do you want, like, how Levi and I met? Like,
I'd love to know what brought you to Savannah first.
Savannah. So Levi got a job as a student pastor at a church on Whitmarsh.
Okay.
Didn't end up being what we hoped it would be. But that's why we moved to Savannah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then how did you guys meet? I'm curious.
So we met at church camp. I was a lifeguard. And he had been a student pastor part-time, and he brought his youth group kids to the church camp that I was working at, and he pulled the Sandlot thing. You know, when, what is the kid's name?
The Squints?
Is the one with the big glasses.
I think it's...
I should know, but okay, I don't know his name.
When he goes to the pool and the lifeguard is Windy Peppercorn.
Yes, yes, yes.
And so he jumps off the diving board and he can't swim and she has to rescue him. So my husband did that version, except he's a grown man. This is, and I'm like...
Oh my gosh. You know,
like... her age. I was like 18.
Okay.
And so I'm like, I am not getting in the water. It's freezing cold in May in Missouri. And
oh my gosh.
I'm like, I am not getting in that cold water for a whole adult man.
Who is just fine.
Who I am certain can swim because it was a cannonball into the water.
Oh my gosh. So did you know each other at that point? Oh no. He was just trying to get your attention.
Yeah. Yeah. Clearly it worked.
So what did you say?
I said, I'm not getting in, and I made him float back to the top.
What? Yeah. I love. And then what?
So we've been together ever since.
Was there dinner, or did he say, like, let's get together?
We were stuck at church camp.
Oh, okay. So you were young, so there wasn't, like, a date.
No. I think we made it through the entire week of camp, and then we went out on Friday. Yeah.
Oh, that's so cute.
When camp was over.
But, I love.
Yeah.
That's adorable. I love it. And we did have your husband on the show. If anybody hopefully heard that episode, it was such a great episode. Your husband is just so easy to talk to.
Yeah.
He's kind. He's compassionate. He's an awesome listener. Do you agree with that, Addie?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Does he listen to you?
Yes.
Go on with your quote unquote TED Talks, like my daughter says.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. He's a very good listener. I find that in him.
Yes. Mm-hmm. All the time.
It's a great quality to have as a dad. I had a wonderful listener in my father, too, growing up. He would just listen. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's just what you need.
Yeah.
You know, you're not looking for that advice. You don't have space for any more commentary or opinions. You just want to be heard.
Right.
So, yeah, I think your dad's very gifted in that way.
For sure.
Yes, I'm the one who offers commentary.
Lots and lots of commentary.
Uh-huh. And then how do you handle that when your mom gives you that?
Well, we're both very open and honest with each other. Like, our relationship is, if you're going to correct me, then you have to be willing to also be open for correction.
Yes.
And so she'll be like, Addie, you're acting ridiculous. And I'm like, no, I'm not. And she's like, if our roles were reversed, you would tell me I'm being ridiculous. And then I sit there for a minute and I go, you're right. And so we are very much like open about things with each other. Like that.
So how do you handle a disagreement between each other if something comes up?
My.
What happens?
Go ahead.
Tell me, Addie, from your perspective.
Okay.
I'm very curious.
If we disagree about something, we usually argue for like an hour. We argue a lot when we're in a disagreement. And then it usually goes, one of us is like, well, you hurt my feelings. And then the other one's like, well, you hurt mine. And I'm like, well, what did I do to hurt your feelings? Because mine are hurt. And she'll be like, no, you hurt mine first. So it's like, we'll sit there and be like, we argue for a while. And, you know, we'll realize, we'll come to the terms where one of us will be like, well, what did I do to hurt your feelings? Like, what happened? And so then after that, like, after we get all of our anger out and our yelling and our argument, we're like, let's take a step back and, like, think about what actually happened and correct ourselves before we move on.
And I think, and the boys often are like, oh, no, Mom, you did that wrong. And and Levi will say, like, oh, no, she's right about this. Or he'll tell Addie, like, no, your mom is right about this. Mm-hmm. And Jackson sometimes will be like, you're both crazy.
Your boyfriend Jackson, he steps in.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. But I mean, it's just, but I feel like that's. The Bible says iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And if I think that only works with one direction, whether that's Adeline or my youngest, who's nine,
he's 10.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he's 10. Then wow. Then that, sorry, chicken. So then that's super unfair. Yeah. Like there needs to be like a two-way dialogue.
Yes.
For them to tell me, "Hey mom, you might have overstepped that, or maybe that thing that you thought was funny wasn't funny to me." And and then for me to be able to step back and say, oh yeah, maybe that was, I could see where you would have interpreted that thing that I didn't think anything of as something that was hurtful or insulting, even, you know, unintentionally. So I think we both work really hard on, like, yeah, and it doesn't happen often where we're like where we are really, it used to, but not it doesn't really happen often where we're genuinely, usually one of us is either really tired or really hungry.
Right.
So it's hormonal a lot of times. Yeah. I feel like for women, it usually,
always.
I feel like that's right. With two women in the same house, there's going to be that.
But there has to be like an open dialogue for both of us to correct each other or even for the boys, you know, my two younger boys, for them to be like, mom, you've stepped over. And I can say the same thing to them, like, boys, that was hurtful or whatever. Because it has to go both ways.
It does. And Addie, do you feel that you have to fight for your mom's attention at home with your brothers always being there?
No.
Well,
we're all very different people, and we all have connections with her in our own ways. Like me and her, we love going shopping together, and we love just like, I'll be like, mom, guess what happened at school today?
Yeah.
Guess what this person did and this person did?
The gossip is fun.
Oh my gosh, we're really good at it. Yeah. And so like, that's where I have connections with my mom. Mm-hmm. And Lincoln and her, they love talking about podcasts and conspiracy theories and books. And personally, that's not my thing.
Mm-hmm.
So they have their connection there. And Lyndon, they love going and like, they do stuff together. And he loves to cuddle her and hang out with her and watch movies with her and play Fortnite with her. She plays Fortnite now.
Oh, that is the coolest thing ever.
I'm not good.
I'm not either. I'm not either.
Actually terrible.
But every so often, I do love.
But they'll put me in a car Fortnite and let me drive around with them.
So. That's cute. That's so cute.
But you play also?
Weston loves that game. Yeah. So yes, we play. I love Eminem in Fortnite. Yeah. I love all the old like Snoop Dogg songs. He wants to be Eminem for Halloween. He told me that today. Stop. I'm like, I love that Eminem is still relevant at this time in light, like the world. It's fascinating to me.
Fortnite.
Yeah, I mean, Eminem just continues to just be relevant and cool, and even with these fifth graders, like they love him. Yeah. So it's cool.
The boys can rap them Eminem songs word for word.
I know, it's fascinating.
You know, okay.
I know, it's okay.
And I'm like, where did you learn this Fortnite?
Fortnite. Uh-huh. Fortnite's teaching our kids lots of stuff.
Lots of stuff.
It could be worse. So So, Addie, would you describe your mom in just three words, three qualities that you love most about her?
Let's see. She is very observant. That's a word that describes her. She's very observant. And she's very, I don't have like a good word, like a smart word. But
from your heart, like, they're all good words.
Just very nurturing. Observant and nurturing. And silly.
Mm-hmm.
Very silly.
That's cute. I love it. Mm-hmm. How about you, Ash? Would you describe Addie in three words?
Empathetic. She's incredibly empathetic. People that I'm like, how? These people have hurt you. Like, how can you see from their perspective? And she's like, well, I think they have this going on and this going on and this going on. So I can understand. And I'm like, that is not a skill that I possess. Mm. And so it's mind-boggling that the amount of empathy that she shows. And I love that. And compassionate, I think, is another one. She's, it doesn't matter if it's a person or an animal something, piece of furniture at the vintage store. She's like, I think we could make this. It's so, and silly. Oh my gosh, she's so silly. So that one's for sure you. Yeah.
So what kind of baby was she when she was born?
Oh.
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
Uh-oh. So Tell us more. Was she tough? Tough
she
baby?
She was an incredibly difficult baby.
In what way?
She had colic.
Okay.
She was my first, and so I was very young. Mm-hmm. Levi and I got married when I was 20, and I had her when I was 23. And yeah. I had no clue. I mean, I had babysat for years, you know, but the beautiful thing about babysitting is when your time's up, someone hands you money and then they take over. And I had no clue what to do with this beautiful child that I loved so much, but I had postpartum depression and she had colic. And
oh my goodness.
So it was just, it was a really, really rough start for us. And so I feel like my postpartum depression kind of kept me from being able to bond with her in the way that I really wanted to.
Wow.
And so it was hard. It was really hard.
How did you know you had postpartum? Because back then people didn't really talk about it much. Did you know that's what it was?
No.
Okay.
No,
what did you think was wrong?
I thought I was going crazy. Wow. Like I was like, I would hallucinate and like, I would close my eyes to go to sleep and I would have these horrible, like, traumatic dreams that something had happened to her.
Oh my gosh.
Or that like I had left her and I would just, I mean, I would wake up crying. I would go to bed crying. I would cry during the day. But no, I had no idea that that was even a thing. I don't think until I had Lincoln.
Did you share that with anybody at the time with your own mom or with
just
anyone?
Just Levi. I didn't even know how to articulate it.
Exactly.
You know, it was just, I mean, he could see that I was upset and that I was not who I usually was.
Right.
But no clue how to fix it or how to even begin to have a conversation about it.
So what helped you feel better to heal from that? Do you remember what you did back then?
I took medicine. I finally went to the doctor and I think he put me, I think it was Xanax.
Like an antidepressant?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because back then they didn't know what else to do.
No.
So it was like, okay, we'll just throw the medicine her way and hopefully that'll just band-aid the situation.
And that's all it was.
Yes.
Yeah,
instead
that's
of,
all it was.
Do you know, looking back, do you know what it was that you were struggling with, really? Was it an emotional
wound? For sure. I wasn't able to nurse her. And I thought that that's what I was supposed to do.
Yep.
Because I didn't know how. And exactly. I didn't have access to help on how.
Right.
And so I felt like a failure. I felt like I was failing her and I felt like I was failing my husband and I felt like my body was failing me.
Wow.
You know? So I think that was the major contributor.
When you say you couldn't nurse her, does that mean that she wouldn't latch, or what was it exactly?
So her birth was incredibly medicated.
Okay.
So, just because of where I was at, I was teaching full time and it was my first year, so I didn't have a lot of time off built up. So I was hoping to use my 2 weeks for Christmas break as part of my maternity leave. And then I had to pay my sub for any additional time off. And so we were so young and we were living off of mostly my husband's ministry salary, which was nothing. And so I was like, I have to maximize this 2 weeks at Christmas. So she's got to come out on her due date. And so I did 2 rounds of Pitocin, 2 rounds of Cytotec, and, you know, the thing in your arm that numbs your whole
epidural.
It was out of my brain.
Yeah.
So I did that for, I mean, it was over 24 hours. So when she came out, she was so groggy and I was so exhausted that they immediately, once I managed to have her, I barely got to see her and they put me to sleep. And so we never got that skin to skin. I never got her to latch. Levi immediately gave her a bottle because they put me straight to sleep. And so, I mean, I really, like, there was just, it was just a series of unfortunate events. And I'm so thankful that now that she's 18, God has redeemed that, yeah. You know, because it was a really rough go.
I'm so sorry this happened. Oh. I can't even, I share a similar story.
Yeah.
Again, my daughter's 22. So back then, no one talked about breastfeeding, or there wasn't any YouTube. There wasn't support. It was like, you take this baby home and you figure it out. And you're lucky if you have a parent that may come over and show you some things.
Or maybe a book with a hand-drawn diagram.
It was like, and then there's this whole thing with breastfeeding. And I want to share this because I just don't think a lot of people, maybe even men, know this. But there's a small window where mm-hmm. if you don't breastfeed that baby, then that milk goes away and now you don't have a choice. See, No one talked about this back then. Mm-hmm. And I mean, and it's not easy for everybody. Not every baby and mother are going to just link and connect that way. Mm-hmm. And you're right. I felt the same way with my daughter. I didn't know what was wrong with me. Nothing. I'm like, why isn't this working? My body's not working. The milk didn't even show up for me with my daughter until after we got home from the hospital. So that was like 4 or 5 days later. Yes. So I was confused. I was in pain. I didn't know how to do it. No one was there to help. She was hungry. There's nothing more scary to a new mother than a baby screaming and hungry. You can't help it. Mm-mm. And you don't know what's wrong. So now your nervous system is all over the place, right? As a mother, you can't calm down, which means the milk won't flow. So it's
the baby can feel your anxiety.
Oh my God, I have goosebumps. Like, it's but no one talks about this. Mm-hmm. And even with my son, so he's also 10. I knew a lot more with him, but still couldn't really breastfeed very well. It's very hard for me to do. It didn't come natural, quote unquote, like mm-hmm. some women say. I know lots of women that it does. And I would pump for him. But even with the pumping, they say you should still look at a picture of your child, hold your baby with you while you're pumping. There's this whole thing. Like, we're a species. We're supposed to be with each other. We're supposed to be helping each other. We're not supposed to be off somewhere in a corner hooked up to a machine. No offense. You know, that's just kind of how it was, though, for a long time. And now when we're out, I'm sure you guys too, you see women with the babies, they're breastfeeding, they're more open. I see women in bathing suits now when they're pregnant. That was never okay to wear a bikini ever. I wanted to. Yeah. I wanted a bikini when I was pregnant, both times. Actually, the second time I did wear one. But, you know, 20 some years ago, you never saw a woman showing her stomach. It was something to be ashamed of.
Yeah.
I mean, what are we talking about here? So there's a lot of shame.
I want something totally different for her and for my boys' wives too. Like I want to be able, if they will accept it, you know, as much as they are willing, to be able to say, like, if I can't help you, then I'm going to hunt down someone who can. Because for whatever it is, whether it's nursing or sleeping or whatever. Exactly. It doesn't matter. It's important that they know that there's a community, even if the community's small, even if it's, you know, even if it's a small group. Like, how much would it have changed your experience with your daughter?
It would have changed everything.
For one person to be there.
It would have changed everything. And God bless my mom in heaven. She passed away at 53 years old, but she did come. Of course, when my daughter was born, she was there in the hospital. She came home with us, spent about 4 hours, helped me bathe my daughter, Lena. And then she said she had to go. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, where are you going? And she, at that time, she lived about an hour away. And she goes, well, you guys will figure this out. I have to go. And I was just so scared, Addie. Like, I was like, wait, I was 25 too. I had no idea.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, no.
But
like,
how am I going to figure it out?
Why are you leaving? Yeah. I mean, it's just like, and that's what we really should be talking about with our kids. And like, I like how you just said, like, you've already told them, I'm here. Your dad's here. We're here to help you. You're not alone. Mm-hmm. If you want the help, that's such a gift.
Yeah. If you want it, we're here.
Right. And I think you're able to give that help, Ashley, because you've healed. Right? You're
or
coming
from healing. Yeah, I don't think it's ever
an
arrival. Maybe you've been doing this for a long time.
Yes.
You know, maybe at some point you feel like you've arrived, but I feel like it's a process.
I think kids bring out a lot.
Yeah.
A lot that you still need to work on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Addie, if you could sum up your childhood in just a few words, would you be able to do that for us?
It was definitely very I felt very, like, stressed growing mm-hmm. up.
Yes.
It was very, very pressured because I was constantly being watched. Like, my mom was a teacher.
Yes.
At a private Christian school that I ended up going to, and my dad was a pastor. And I don't feel like the church is so bad about this anymore so much as it was when I was growing up. And that might just be the churches that I'm attending now versus the churches up north that we went to then. But if you were a child in the church, you had a lot of expectations, especially if you were a pastor's kid. And, like, everybody, I felt like everything I did was so judged by adults.
Wow.
Adults who were supposed to be loving me and caring for me, like, family.
Right.
And not so much my parents, so much as, like, you know, grandparents, uncles, cousins, the members of our church who are supposed to be there for you are too concerned about everyone else's opinions of my child self. And so I think it's definitely, in my opinion, has changed a lot in recent time.
Mm.
But, like, when I was growing up, it was the standards were perfection.
Wow.
And that was so difficult for me because I was always in my head. And I think that brought out so many insecurities for me. Like, growing up, if I messed up, I was bad. Like, I was going to hell if I made one mistake. Like, everything I did was being watched. Everything was, like, so much pressure. And I was 5, 6.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wow. I was a little girl.
Yeah, but you felt that pressure.
Oh, yeah.
And it wasn't coming from a loving place.
No.
No.
Very much judgmental.
Because
and that was
maybe
hard.
You didn't fit into the
right.
the mold, so no. to speak. Is that it?
I definitely never have.
I see that in you. That's yeah. what I love about you so much. I love. I align with you on that. You didn't fit the mold. And they knew that. And maybe they knew they couldn't control you.
That, yes.
Because you're too strong.
I'm
too smart.
I'm my own spirit.
Yes.
I'm very much my own self.
Yes.
And I don't appreciate when people tell me that I have to change for them.
Right. Or to, like, dumb it down or.
No.
No. Maybe you were intimidating them because you were just shining so bright.
Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding. Yes. So you still go to church now?
Oh, yeah.
Right? Okay. So what is it like now with your experience at this age? Now that you're an adult, you can say whatever you feel.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure that being a child stopped her. I still
said everything I felt.
Good.
And you just had to take it.
Yeah.
Like, that
Good.
Was me. I still am like that. I say what I think and I mean it. But now I very much feel like, and I don't know if it's so much at, because we've attended, how long have we attended Compassion? Mm-hmm. A year?
No, honey.
It's
about two.
Yeah. Oh, wow. About 2 years now.
Okay.
And, I have loved it so much because you walk in and everyone looks at you and they see you for being just a person.
Wow.
And, you know, like there's no, because let me be so serious. The church is very much, I am holier than thou because I see what you have going on in your life and I see your sins. And that is so common and it has hurt so many people in the church. But I feel like at the church I work at Skidaway Island, it's also like that. You come in and people see you for a person.
Mm.
And they can step back and I don't know if that's just culture now or just a lot of development. But we're all, like, I have my sins and you have yours. Mm. And mine aren't better sins than yours. Like, we're all just people and we're all saved by the same person and we're all incapable of achieving anything on our own. And just because a certain person has more money or more stature than you does not make you better than anyone else. And that has been, in my opinion, very, in like the past 5 years. And I feel like, I don't know if that was so much after COVID, everyone had to take a step back and they were stuck with their own reality.
Absolutely.
And their own brain and had
yes.
to go, oh, wait, maybe I'm not great. But I don't know if that was it. Because it was really, truly just like after that, there was a switch in people mm-hmm. where they started to find self-help and mm-hmm. their own like faults, and instead of caring so much about themselves, they're seeing others. So I don't know, that might just be my opinion, but
so do you think, would you recommend that everybody find some kind of place that they can practice, whether it's church or synagogue or temple or anything like that?
Yes.
What are your thoughts on people not having something like that in their life?
I mean, I will never be the kind of person to sit there and say that you're less than me because you have another religious practice.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, everyone, I've gone through my seasons where I've wanted nothing to do with religion at all because of the way that people in the church have helped me. So I completely understand anyone who says I never want to walk into a church again.
Yeah.
Because I was at that point for years in my life where mm-hmm. I never wanted to step foot in a church. I hated it. But I do think that if you find a lot of time and just, it's going to be difficult. A lot of time to work on yourself
mm-hmm.
and find what you're lacking
mm-hmm.
in yourself
mm-hmm.
and find a thing that makes you feel loved again and feel whole. And that has been my faith because I was so empty and I had to find my faith again and start doing the hard things. And so I definitely think, like, I will never judge a person for the spot that they're in their life or where they find their comfort because we're all so different.
That's why I said she's empathetic.
She really is. It's beautiful. You've yeah. raised such a beautiful girl.
Oh, wow.
She really is.
But she's, mm-hmm. she has always been like that.
It's beautiful. Well, we're going to talk a little bit deeper when we get back from our break. So everybody hang tight. When we get back, I want to hear a little bit about Ashley's childhood, just a little bit about some things that happened that made her who she is today. So think about that, Ash, and we'll be back in just a minute.
You are listening to your radio station, WRUU, which is presented by people just like you, people from your community. The voices you hear are your neighbors, coworkers, and other Savannah residents. Therefore, WRUU is your community radio station. So, won't you please help by donating whatever you can afford to help your neighbors stay on the air? Go to WRUU.org and support your local radio station with a monetary contribution of any amount. Again, you can support your local radio station at WRUU.org. Thank you.
Every Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, your host Mike will take you on an incredible journey around the world, bringing you music in and from multiple languages, countries, genres, and eras. Everything from opera to heavy metal to jazz, afrobeat, country, house music, funk, disco, soul, reggae, bossa nova, old classics and movie themes, salsa, merengue, and more.
Julia Jarrett of Made by Venus Moon will host a broom-making workshop to introduce participants to the art of broom-making in a hands-on, accessible format on Saturday, September 6th from 2 to 4 p.m. at the historic Kennedy Pharmacy, located at 323 East Broughton Street. Each participant will leave with their own handmade miniature broom. To register, visit DavenportHouseMuseum.org/public-programs. The Art Southeast Wild Thing Art Exhibition will have an opening reception on June 6th from 5 to 9 p.m. and a closing reception on Friday, August 1st from 5 to 9 p.m. in conjunction with First Fridays in Starland. Through photography, fibers, collage, painting, sculpture, and more, artists in this exhibit leaned into the untamed side of the creative process. Works will be available for purchase at artssoutheast.org/wildthing.
Welcome back to Parenting Room 101. Oh, hey. I'm here with my friends Ashley and Addie. Thank you, everybody, for listening. So, Ashley, would you share a little bit about your upbringing? Whatever comes to mind, whatever's on your heart, whatever you've had to heal from, whatever makes you a better mother. Just tell us a little bit about your journey.
Yeah, so I think I would have said that I had a pretty normal, like, I'm on the, I think they call me a geriatric millennial or something ridiculous like that. It's like right on the line of Gen X and millennial.
Yes.
And so I had a very, I think probably typical childhood. We spent a lot of time after school at home, you know, latchkey kids. My brother and I didn't get along. We still don't get along. So that has, I feel like, been, it was always contentious. You said earlier in the show that you felt like you like had to sort of compete with your mom. I very much felt like I was constantly competing with my brother. And so we would bicker after school. It was so bad that my parents felt like we had to have a babysitter in the summer because like we just didn't get along. But you know, it wasn't all bad. I loved to just sit outside and read, and my dad had hunting dogs, and there were always puppies, and so I would just sit outside with a book and hold puppies and play with puppies, and that was my favorite. Just to sit outside and read, yeah. And I loved to read Boxcar Children and pet puppies. Like, that is what I loved. Yeah. But it was also, I would say, maybe a little bit jaded by this very contentious relationship with my brother. That's definitely followed us into adulthood.
So how far apart in age are you with your brother?
21 months.
Okay, very close.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So do you feel like your parents favored him more than you?
Yes.
Okay. Always?
Without a doubt.
Is he older?
Younger.
Oh, he's younger. Mm-hmm. Okay. What do you make of that? Why?
That has been a question I've asked myself a million times. I think because he was a boy. My mom was a tomboy. My dad was very interested in sports, and I liked to read and pet puppies.
Right.
I mean, and it's like I'm not athletic. And so I think that it was just, instead of being able to see me and the gifts that I could bring, they saw what I lacked and what my brother had. Does that make sense?
Very much.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Yeah.
They didn't understand you.
No.
That's all. Mm-mm. They didn't even know how.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think that they were, I mean, you know, in the 80s and 90s, like I don't want to speak poorly about them, but you know, to survive in those times, my dad owned his own business, my mom had to work. And she had a hard relationship with her mother. And so I think just relating to a very girly girl who wanted to wear princess dresses and sit in the yard and let puppies crawl over me while I read Boxcar Children was just so far out of her ability to understand that there wasn't even, you know, with working full time. And I don't think that she had the capacity for that.
So did you feel that void with someone else since your parents weren't really there for you? Did you look for that elsewhere?
I think I just went in.
Okay.
I would say that I had good friends. I had great friends. Mm. The people, I lived in a small town, so my friends that were my friends in pre-K are the same people I graduated with. So that's, I had great friends in high school, but I was also very content just to be by myself.
Yeah.
So,
do you feel like you've broke the mold or the chains from your childhood with your kids now? Are you a different mom?
Oh, I'm trying to be.
Than you were raised.
I mean, it gives me much hope to hear Adeline say that she doesn't have to feel like she fights for my attention.
Yes, especially with other kids in the house. That's a big deal.
And for her to be able to identify, like, I have this with my mom.
Yes.
Lincoln has this with my mom, and Chicken has this with my mom.
Are you surprised to hear that she was able to to articulate that and say that way? Did you know that she felt complete with your relationship?
I don't know that I'm surprised.
Yes.
Just because she is who she is.
Right.
I mean, she's a very articulate, mm-hmm. very well-spoken, and very empathetic, compassionate person. And so does it surprise me to hear her say that? No. I'm just grateful.
Oh, yeah. That's amazing. Oh. You're lucky. You're lucky, Addie. You have a great mom.
I know I am. I love my mom.
You know, because you've heard these stories too, both of you. There's a lot of moms out there that are struggling. Their kids won't talk to them. Mm-hmm. I know even dads out there that are, I know quite a few personally, actually, that are just estranged from their kids.
Yeah.
They say they don't know why. Mm-hmm. They tried everything they can and they can't seem to get through to them. What are your thoughts on that, Addie? For someone out there who's struggling that maybe wants to have a relationship with their child but doesn't know how to bridge that gap, or there's pain or hurt there, what would you suggest that person do?
I think it's very, very common now.
It is.
Insanely common. And I think the problem is that all of these parents, they all have jobs. Moms have jobs now. Dads have jobs. No parent is home.
Mm-hmm.
And they start at a young age where they send their kids to school. They play sports after school. And then the parent comes home. The parent is tired
mm-hmm.
from a full day at work. Mm-hmm. And the kids, you know, they have things to say to their parents. And their parents are like, I don't really care right now. Let's watch a movie instead. Or let's have dinner on the couch and watch a movie instead of speaking to the kid.
Yeah.
And so these parents, they're at this point, they're like, why does my kid not like me? Why does my kid not tell me about their day or the things that they have going on? Well, the answer is because you've never been there for them.
Right.
And so I sympathize so much with those parents, because of course you would want a relationship with your kid. But when you push them away for however many years because you're tired, because our economy is so difficult now, like parents have to work. You can't afford to buy a house.
Right.
And
right.
So I understand and I feel awful, but a kid needs a relationship. And if you've never been there in the years and years and years for that kid, and you're still in that job where you're still working a 9-to-5, and your kid now plays sports and has friends, they'll find another family somewhere else.
Oh, you're right. They will. I hope everybody heard that. That stung, I'm sure, some people listening. And I want it to, because you are 100% right. They will find another family.
Yeah, they will.
They will look for that connection somewhere else. And I'm going to add to that and say, even if it's not another family, it'll be some way of coping.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be alcohol will be their friend.
Yep.
Or, you know, marijuana or whatever, gambling. They will find a place they will find something, a vice of some sort to fill the pain and the emptiness that you weren't there for, right? The emotional connection.
And what's so sad is that parents, they blame their kids. Their kids go and they find their other thing.
Yes.
And whether that's, you know, their kid is wanting to go out and hang out with their friends, that's like, why wouldn't you want to stay with us? Or a kid goes to substances. Mm-hmm. Why would you do that? Well, what led them to do that?
Absolutely.
We shouldn't be blaming our kids mm-hmm. for this. We should be asking them, like, what has hurt you so much that you feel like this is your only solution?
Yes.
Because there's so much more, like, there's so many other reasons past a kid being stupid because they're a teenager.
Oh, No, kids aren't stupid. No way. No.
Uh-uh.
No, they're just being ignored.
Yeah.
Most likely. I mm-hmm. think that might be the worst kind of abuse out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's just
neglect.
Neglect.
Emotional neglect.
Awful. Yes.
Is just as real.
It is.
As physical.
It is. And just, if you're in a room with your kids or you're at a restaurant and you're, as a parent, scrolling your phone the whole time, you're not with that kid.
Mm-hmm. Not at all.
I actually, this morning, had this quote come to me. It's like something I just kind of thought of, but it was something along the lines of, it's not a mother's job to raise the kids and the father's job to babysit.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. I'm going to do something with that at some point. Mm-hmm. I'll kind of add to that and share a little bit more about that in a post. But I feel like that seems to be still in the background of some of our narratives, that mm-hmm. the mom is doing a lot of it.
Right.
And the dad is just inconvenienced at times. And then he's in charge of babysitting when mom's not around.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Do you guys see that
still?
Yeah,
for sure.
And that's not okay.
No.
I don't. here's the thing. If you're the kind of dad that is presenting that way to your kids, that you're just babysitting, that means you're scrolling on your phone, you're not paying attention, you're watching a sports game and all that. When your kids are there, they haven't seen you, like you said, Addie. Maybe you've been away all week at work, and now mm-hmm. here you are in their presence. Are you present?
Yeah.
Or are you just checking a box till the mom comes home?
Right.
You know, and not to put my ex-husband down in any way, God bless, but... And he didn't know any better back then. He did not know. But and he's a great person. But I remember when he would watch our daughter, he would take her to, and she was just a baby, maybe 3 or 4 years old. He would take her to AutoZone and Pep Boys, and he'd take her to the car wash. And, you know, I'm like, will you understand? Like, again, she was like you, very girly. She liked to wear her princess shirt. She liked to get her ears pierced at the mall. Like, she was a girl.
Yes.
And he was like, and on his time with her, it was all about him.
Yeah.
You know, and it was just, and of course you fast forward the years and you wonder what happened. Why don't we have a relationship? Well, you never really showed much interest in what she liked.
Right.
What happened to that? What happened to taking her somewhere that she would have liked? Maybe take her to the zoo or, you know, something she was into at the time. But you just.
Right. The mall for a new dress and sparkly stickers
take
for her,
her
nails.
Right. The Disney store.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean.
Literally.
Really get on their level. I guess that's the message here. Maybe somebody needs to hear it. I feel like that's why we're sharing it.
Yeah.
Somebody needs to hear that.
Yeah.
They don't just want you in the room. They want you to really be invested in them.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do that long enough, eventually your kids are invested in you.
Exactly.
And they want to know what you're up to. And they, like Addie said, she wants to go vintage shopping with you.
Yeah.
And just hang
all
out with
time.
You. All the time.
And I'll text her. I text my mom more than I text people my age. I send her videos and I'm like, hey, mom, look at this. Like, I want her to be invested in me because I care about her.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know that she's invested in me. She'll text me and be like, so guess what happened? Oh. Look what I did. And I'll do the same thing to her.
It's
because
beautiful. She
values my thoughts and my words and my time and what I'm interested in. And she does that not just for me, but she's willing to take my youngest brother on runs so he can do cross country.
Wow.
That girl doesn't run. My mother does not run.
Let's be very clear. I have not done any running with chicken. Dad is on that one. He can handle that.
Let's be clear. That's amazing.
I will cheer for chicken, but I am not running.
But you support us. No matter whether,
sure.
Like, you've gone to how many baseball games? And you hate baseball.
I do hate baseball.
But
I love that. I would never have known that, by the way, because I know Ashley from the baseball games where our kids play together.
Exactly.
And Ashley's cheering just as loud as all the other moms.
Yeah.
It's
she'll
not
stop,
her thing.
No, but she'll stop in a conversation and just say, hold on a minute. I got to watch. My son's up to bat. It's like she will stop everything to make sure she's there and she's present and she's supportive.
But it is definitely not my favorite sport.
Not at all. Oh, my God, no.
That's
but
amazing.
But those are my favorite people. And so people triumph. Like, they're I will stop to watch them because those are my favorite people.
Oh, my gosh. That is the most beautiful thing. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Well, we have a few more minutes before we wrap up. It's been such an emotionally gorgeous conversation with you guys. Addie, how would you like to be remembered someday when you're all grown up? How would you
in
like
her
people?
Louboutins?
Yeah.
I want a pair of cushions in a pink Porsche.
Okay. In a pink Porsche. Good for you,
real.
Girl.
I'm sorry.
How would you like to, you know, just your legacy, but how would you like people to think of you when they think of you?
Just as the kind of person that sees them.
Yeah.
I want people to have a conversation with me and feel seen and loved. That's all that I ever could want from, like, that's what how I would want to be remembered. Is the kind of person that loves.
Well, don't ever lose that light, honey.
I won't.
Don't lose it. Don't let anybody take it from you. No. And Ashley, is there anything that you would like to share about how maybe you'd like to be remembered someday?
I think that the most beautiful thing that anyone could say about me would be that I loved my people.
Yeah.
That's you
awesome.
Know. That would be it.
And that I can tell they know that. They do.
Yeah, for sure.
And what's your favorite Mother's Day gift? We have one more minute left. If you were going to get the kids together to get you something, what would you want?
Oh, my favorite thing that I have ever gotten, and all three of them have
please.
Done it, Lincoln will write me a poem. Adeline, I found it just the other day, a book that she wrote me when she was younger about how much she loves me. And she does it almost every year.
Yeah, I do.
About why she loves me. And Chicken does the same thing. He'll make me a hand-drawn card, and he never uses colored pencils or crayons or markers. It's just
a pencil.
It's just a pencil. Oh. But those are my favorites.
That is the most beautiful thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
I hope everybody enjoyed this conversation today as much as I did. You guys are incredible people.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming, you guys.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend, everybody. See you this time next time on Parenting Room 101.